in the world of sports. She's got next. Next. Here's Jordan Robinson.
Hey, hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of She's Got Next. I'm Jordan Robinson, your host, and boy, do I have a great show for you today. I'm always so excited, but this one's going to be really good. We're covering all things women's sports, the latest headlines, the most up-to-date news, and we have a great interview for you later on. It's all here. So you are listening to the right place. Like always, if you missed last week's episode, let me recap it for you. So we dove deeper into the WNBA and gave a check-in on the standings as the league's mid-season tournament is well underway. It's called the Commissioner's Cup, with the championship landing on July 1st. So far, we're still accurate from last week. It's still looking like it's the New York Liberty out of the East and the Minnesota Lynx out of the West. They are the behemoths at the top of the standings for both conferences. Both teams, as I am recording this, are undefeated. No one has beat them. And not so secretly, I am hoping for this finals rematch in the Cup Championship, because that would just be so fun. And we don't have this regular season matchup scheduled between these two teams until like the end of July. So if we get this earlier, I'm a happy camper. Our guest last week was two-time WNBA champion and guard for the LA Sparks, Kelsey Plum. She was awesome. She talks about how she had a very restful offseason coming into this year's competition. It was a blockbuster trade that sent her from the Las Vegas Aces to the Sparks. So she talked about what went into that decision and how her role has changed now as a leader of this young Sparks group. My favorite part of the interview was when she kind of checked me a little bit, which I gladly welcomed, about what it really takes to win a championship. I asked something along the lines of, you know, how important is it to you to bring another championship banner to Crypto.com Arena? The Sparks haven't won a championship since 2001. And she said, and I'm paraphrasing here, but you know, people who typically ask that question have never won a championship. And I'm like, you are right. Because it takes a lot of time, a lot of different iterations of rosters to get to that mountaintop. So of course, I want another championship, but it's not going to happen overnight. And I completely respect that answer and that outlook on that whole overall topic of championships. I think that's a topic in the W in a lot of sports where we can get so focused on the end goal, but there's a lot of little things that happen throughout the season, throughout the years to get to a championship. So totally get that. But it was a awesome conversation with her in the midst of the season, and she's like really in the grind. So for her to stop and talk to us was awesome. Make sure to go back and check out that full episode and interview wherever you get your podcasts. But on today's episode of She's Got Next, we are going to talk more about softball, because since we last spoke, some major softball headlines have been echoing across the sports world and all over my social media. I'm sure it has popped up on yours as well. But we're going to hear from Kim Ang, the commissioner of the Athletes Unlimited Softball League, in just a little bit. But first, let's talk more about the moment that softball is having. So if you missed any of the Women's College World Series final, man, I feel bad for you. I truly do. The competition between Texas and Texas Tech was fierce and historied, not only because they are both from the same state, rivalries on all fronts, on the biggest stage, the biggest show on dirt, but it was also the story of both teams gunning for their first national championship. The behemoth, again, of Oklahoma was knocked off, and therefore the door was open. We talked on the show so much about Nidri Kanady, and honestly, I still don't think we talk about her enough. The young woman is a straight up star. She is a pitcher for Texas Tech. She became the first $1 million softball NIL deal to transfer from Stanford to come to Texas Tech. She leads the Red Raiders to the national championship. Yes, maybe she came up short, but she has already re-signed for another $1 million NIL deal to return to try to do it all over again. And what she has done for the sport of softball and setting a new precedent for getting paid what you're worth, getting money and investing in your players will pay off in the end. It's incredible. She will always be the first who, you know, $1 million deal, all of these things. But she will in no way, shape, or form be the last. And that is what it is all about. But now to the champs, okay? The champs, Texas Longhorns. Let's go. You know, I had a conversation recently with Madison Booker, who is a women's college basketball player for Texas, the SEC Player of the Year. She led her team to the Final Four this past season. And she was so locked in to the Women's College World Series. She wanted to root for her team and for her school, of course, but it was what she said about all Texas athletics and what this moment means for all Texas athletes. She said that this just raises the bar for all of us. Watching them compete and win it all, she said, it makes me want to go out next year and hoist the national championship in women's basketball. And she's like, I think we all, like in football, in swimming, we all want to be able to raise to the standard. It was so motivating. Man, but Texas played their hearts out. Sophomore Tegan Kavan was named the most outstanding player after a historic 31.2 innings without allowing an earned run. What? Are you serious? And Mia Scott, are you kidding me? She played the entire series on a torn ACL and still delivered one of the most clutch moments in Texas softball history. Then she posted a picture with the trophy afterwards with the caption, "I only need one," referring to her knees. Like, what? Like, that's crazy heart right there. They deserved that victory. And what a historic Women's College World Series it was. Just to put it in perspective, game three of that 2025 Champ Series, the deciding game, was the most watched NCAA softball game ever, peaking at 2.7 million viewers. And you'll hear from our guests a little bit later, but like they had to add more seats to the stadium because they were overflowing with people in attendance in person. And amazing. This movement is also starting and evolving and growing from the grassroots too. We talked a little bit about this in volleyball, but grassroots and youth athletics is so, so important to growing. And when we talk about girls wanting to play the sports, because that's what carries it, you know, that's what they go to college, they play in high school, then they play in college, and they want to play in the pros. Over 9.2 million people played softball in the U.S. in 2024. Little League softball has over 360,000 young athletes that play on more than 24,000 softball teams in more than 25 countries. So it's not just an America thing. It's global, baby. Like, softball is having their moment. And it's so cool that now we easily transition into the next era, because we talk about this excitement of young girls playing softball, wanting to be great, watching the Women's College World Series and say, one day I'm going to be at one of these incredible, iconic women's softball programs in college. And then what? Now you have a pro option. Right after the Women's College World Series ended, Athletes Unlimited Pro Softball began. It was perfectly executed to allow fans to stay excited about the great softball that they've been watching and transfer it in the eyes and the viewers to AU. The opening weekend was June 7th in Rosemont, Illinois, and they had games happening in Wichita, Kansas, also to kick off the season and tour. The response has already been tremendous. I mean, the games were sold out. Multiple games were sellouts. Viewership on ESPN, incredible. And also what was so cool was the players who were just playing in for their college teams just a few short weeks ago are already pros launching into a brand new league. Incredible that that transition was very fast, but just no downtime to just keep the momentum and keep it going. Really, really cool. The commissioner, Kim Ng, and a former MLB GM, the first woman to hold the position, will talk to us later about the upcoming season, MLB's huge investment, what moments from the opening weekend stood out to her, and everything in between. So stick around for that. But before we get to our guest today, it's time for a quick Women's Sports Week recap. Both the Seattle and Vancouver PWHL expansion teams have signed their first players in the recent expansion draft, with legend Billie Jean King, by the way, calling out names. That's iconic. Seattle signed the legendary four-time Olympic medalist Hillary Knight and forward Danielle Cerdakny, while Vancouver signed Claire Thompson, Emerence Mashmeyer, and Sophie Yaquez. Yeehaw! The 2025 Women's Rodeo World Championship at AT&T Stadium was nonstop energy as the best in the sport competed for record-setting prize money. Now, I know rodeo and women's rodeo probably isn't a sport that we cover a lot, but what they're doing is incredible over there. Since its 2020 debut, the WRWC has awarded over $5.3 million to its athlete. That makes it the richest women's-only rodeo in the world. So who won in this recent world championship? In the championship round, Tacy Matthews blazed to the barrel racing title in 12.674 seconds and took home $70,000. That's the event's biggest winner. Then Josie Connor dominated breakaway roping with lightning fast 1.81 second to win, and then won $69,000. Now, this has to be the best professional athlete time to money ratio. Like, less than 2 seconds, you're winning $69,000. Sign me up for that immediately. I love that for her and for the sport. Then there was a duo, team roping. Ashton Pratts and Tamara Lewis posted a winning 6.78 seconds to split a $64,000 prize. Money, money, money. I love it. I love it. Okay, lastly from this week, I hope you watched this match. I hope you have heard everything about it, but we have to talk about the French Open and Roland Garros. Coco Gauff defeated Aryna Sabalenka in 3 sets to earn the crown. This became Coco's first French Open singles title, and she became the youngest American winner in over 2 decades. The last American woman to win the French Open, Serena Williams, in 2015. I'm sure anytime Coco can be in the same sentence as the GOAT, then it's a great day. But this win did not come without some drama, so I'll break it down in like a mini Robinson rant type of way. First, I'd say watching the match, Coco did an amazing job just keeping a level head like she always does. She doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. Even after dropping that first set to a tiebreak, she kept an even temper. And the post-match press conference after she lost to Coco Gauff, Sabalenka made some really odd comments. We could just say that. She told reporters that Gauff, quote, won the match not because she played incredible, end quote, but because, quote, won the match, or because I made all those mistakes, end quote. So she wasn't giving Goff really any props for actually winning. And then she said that if she had not beaten Sabalenka, if she had not beaten Iga Świątek in the semifinal, Świątek would have gone on to beat Goff. Which, like, what? Why would you say that? Goff responded to that in her press conference, like, hey, no shade to Iga, but the last time I played her, I beat her in straight sets. So that's not fair to say, because anything can happen in the world of tennis, especially in a championship match. And I know that Iga is at home like, why am I in it? I lost. What? Why are you adding me in this? So it was very odd. And Sabalenka released a statement the very next day on her Instagram because she was getting a lot of backlash for these comments. It was like giving hater a little bit. So she said, quote, Coco handled the conditions much better than I did and fully deserved the win. She was the better player yesterday, and I want to give her the credit she earned. You all know me. I'm always going to be honest and human in how I process these moments. I made over 70 unforced errors, so I can't pretend it was a great day for me. But both things can be true. I didn't play my best, and Coco stepped up and played with poise and purpose. She earned that title. Respect. Time to rest, learn, and come back stronger. End quote. Now, class, why couldn't we say that in the first place? I'm not sure. But hey, congratulations again to Coco Gauff. At just 21 years old, she is taking the tennis world by storm. And that was an incredible tournament and a great match to watch. All right. I hope you feel caught up on this past week. Coming up next, we'll have Kim Ng, the commissioner of AU Softball League, join us to talk about this incredible momentum that's heading into the inaugural season. You're listening to She's Got Next with Jordan Robinson.
From Odyssey Sports, it's She's Got Next with Jordan Robinson.
Welcome back to She's Got Next. Quick disclaimer. During the interview, there are some notification sounds, which were a small glimpse into her world as a busy commissioner. Today's special guest is Athletes Unlimited Pro Softball League Commissioner and former MLB executive Kim Ng, and She's Got Next. Kim, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jordan. How are you?
I'm doing so well, and I know this is like a super slow time for you, right? Like nothing, nothing big going on.
Plate's cleared.
No, we are kidding. AU Pro Softball's opening weekend happened on June 7th. An incredible turnout. All three opening games were sold out. First, were you really able to have a chance to kind of sit back and take it all in?
Absolutely not. I had one moment, which I'm happy that I organically let myself have, and that was the moment that I walked out onto the field on opening day and was about to address the crowd, and that was when I was able to just soak it all in and see all of these wonderful fans and just, you know, all these little girls in the stands who are just so incredibly joyful and happy to be there to watch their heroes. So that was an amazing moment. But other than that, that was about it.
Actually, other than that, I'm sure you're running around.
Thinking back, I had a second moment, and that was after the game last night. It was our fourth sellout of six games. And after the game, I was walking down out of the stands and I saw the autograph session that was taking place after the game. And all of these little ones in line, hundreds of them, hundreds in line to just talk to, get a picture with, and get an autograph from our players. So that was also really, really heartwarming.
Well, that's kind of what I was going to go into next. Just what kind of feedback or reactions has kind of stuck with you from what people have come up to you over these opening weekends? Because this is a new league and there is a lot of excitement around this league. But it's also these little girls seeing a future that I can play pro softball, but also former players, former people who played in college being like, wow, this is so cool that this generation could get this. So what was that feedback, those stories that you heard?
So just so amazing. You know, yesterday we took a small group around, around some of the athletes, and you could just see the joy on their faces. And one of the athletes walked up to a 10-year-old and said, "How are we feeling today?" And because obviously she was doing what she was doing, you know, with these athletes, she said, "I feel great." And I, you know, and basically, you know, off to the side, she said, "I know I can grow up to be one of them." So those were the, you know, the real authentic situations. And then walking through the lobby of our hotel, having fans stop me and just said, you know, saying, "Thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for giving these women this opportunity." And then, you know, on, I guess, externally, of our, you know, softball, stratosphere, watching all of the engagement on social through our partner MLB and hearing from those folks just how, you know, how over the moon they are. We had a couple of executives from MLB out here for opening day, and it was described by an insider that, you know, they were giddy and they were projecting, you know, 3-5 years down the line what this will look like. So just incredible stuff across the board, from the sellouts to the social engagement to the coverage. I mean, the MLB coverage of our actual games, not just puff pieces, but actual game story coverage. And then seeing all of the local fanfare, and clearly that, yeah, that manifested itself in, you know, and fans coming out to the ballpark. And so, you know, an hour and a half prior to the game starting, you know, the line is out, you know, down the block, waiting to get in. So just across the board has been absolutely eye-opening. You know, I said to a group on Friday night that we're probably all standing here just pinching ourselves because of you know, where we are, you know, the rollout, the momentum towards opening day, and now looking at what we're doing over the last several days, you know, it is amazing. And so having said that, there is still a lot to be done.
Yes, this is just the beginning, which is also really exciting. This is just the beginning. So overall, what can fans expect from this inaugural season of AU softball?
Yeah. So as before the season, you can expect high caliber, first quality, past Olympians, future Olympians. If you want to see them, they are here with us. You can see all 12 of our college draftees. All of those selectees were signed. So you can see everybody from Sam Landry to Bree Ellis, all of those folks here. So that's the quality of the talent that we have in this league. I think from a fan experience, and me having, you know, obviously been in Rosemont now for several days and having watched that, these, you know, you can expect to be engaged across the board throughout the game, between innings, again, with talent on the field. And then I think from, you know, on the external front, I think you can see this buzz and this hype building. So we've got our four teams that are going to travel to 12 different markets over the next 2.5 months. After that, our hope is to expand to 6 teams, and then we will select markets, 6 different markets, and attach those teams to markets so that we can build some serious local engagement and hype and geographical rivalries and, you know, all of those fun narratives that we can build up. But, you know, to this point, again, just so incredibly excited about what's happened.
And this is something that you have been building, and Athletes Unlimited has been building, working in the background. First, you signed on as an advisor, and then you were it was announced in April that you were the commish. Why was this role the right next step for you in your personal career journey?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I mean, there's just so many different indicators for softball as a sport. First of all, let me take you back a lot of time. I grew up playing softball. My four sisters played softball. We all played. Three of us played collegiately. So that's my background. Softball is one of my passions. Secondly, I think in terms of where softball is today, and let me take one step back. The women's sports landscape is incredible. You know, a lot of people say, where were you when, you know, you saw this happen? And so for me, one of the questions of the last 5 years, where were you when Caitlin Clark was in the NCAA finals her senior year, you know, on her way?
Yes.
Well, right. Like, where were you watching that game? Because everybody was watching it. And so for me to have seen that, and at the time I was, quote, retired, and just sort of understanding where we were at this point in time, was really, you know, for me, it was one of those moments, those revelations, like, my God, this is happening. This, like, before our eyes, this is happening. And thank goodness I actually had time to watch something besides a baseball game. right. And so then you see the numbers come out of that game, and you watch Caitlin, you know, get drafted and sign, and you knew that you were, that, you know, we were experiencing this movement. Now you take softball and you look at those softball metrics, and they have been there for a number of years. But even as popular as it has been, every year you see it getting more popular. So if you take the College World Series, and that viewership, year over year, ESPN reports, you know, increases, dramatic increases. They built more seating at Devon Park in Oklahoma City to accommodate all of the fandom that they experience. So attendance year over year. And then if you go down the softball pipeline and look at 6 to 12-year-olds, along with baseball players, participation numbers increasing according to SFIA, you know, 27% over the last 5 years. So throughout that ecosystem and pipeline, softball is in a very good space and continues to be year over year. So, you know, me having been a softball player, me experiencing and seeing all of this really led me to, you know, ponder and think about what the future looks like. And, you know, and I've said this before in interviews, you know, you're either, if you're not on the inside, you're on the outside. And I didn't want to be on the outside. And so it was, you know, it was an opportunity that fell in my lap. I give John Patrickoff a lot of crap because he talked me out of, you know, talked me out of retirement. But,
but it was blissful few the short time. It was, I'm sure it was blissful. But now, look at you go.
I know. So he did a great job in convincing me to join Athletes Unlimited. I loved the vision and the mission that they are on to provide opportunities for women athletes across different sports, basketball, volleyball, softball. And so it just seemed like the time, you know, was right. So I joined.
I love it. And yes, I was going to get to that. You kind of were modest about your softball career. You're a captain on the University of Chicago. Okay. We need to got to make sure to put that in there when you describe the past. But also, such, you mentioned it a little bit earlier, you were 30 years in the MLB and being able to have such a historic career there, being the first woman executive to run a team, the Mariners. So to have the MLB be involved in something like this, How big is that? Not only because that is, you know, a place that you worked for and built yourself, but also to have just this huge supporter for this league. It kind of, not necessarily that women's sports needs that validity, but it was also just the stamp of, yes, we're doing great. We're in the right direction.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think, you know, having worked at MLB for about 10 years, knowing how they tend to process, you know, I think that they, you know, their review of what was going on in the women's space was absolutely right on, and their timing couldn't have been more perfect. I think maybe I helped to provide some comfort in terms of the direction of the organization, and, you know, hopefully in people's minds bridge that gap, because, you know, and it's just a small gap. You know, when you look at the two sports, so many similarities. They are different, but so many similarities. I call them fraternal twins. You know, there's no reason that we should not all be in that big family. And so MLB's not just strategic investment, but their absolute 1,000% leaning into what we are doing, and leaning into the women's pro space, has been felt and has been appreciated across many different spectrums, because we all, you know, we as women, and, you know, in our conferences and our discussions, we always talk about allies. Yeah. I couldn't think of a you know, more prominent, established ally, you know, again, fraternal twin, that could have helped us more at this time. So again, like the momentum into opening day, coming off the College World Series, you know, making the MLB announcement into opening day. And I think standing up next to us in the more mainstream eye, I think couldn't have been any better positioned. And they know that our success is their success.
Mm-hmm. Well, the momentum you talked about, the Women's College World Series, Game 3, 2.4 million viewers, the most watched NCAA softball game ever. Congratulations again to Texas. But this idea that, like, the very, you know, a few days later, we're talking about pro softball, and it's no drop off. We are in the momentum. We're talking about softball. But just from your point of view, seeing the young stars, seeing the Women's College World Series, how exciting is that? And then how exciting are you to have them in your league soon?
I mean, these women are incredible. These women are incredible. And so it's funny, you know, bringing over some of my friends from baseball, and having them really sort of pay attention, you know, their eyes have been really opened quite a bit. So when you talk about these young women, you know, coming from college, I mean, watching them do what they did, under incredible pressure on the largest platforms of their careers, is just, it has been so amazing, so absolutely amazing. And then, I mean, you know, these athletes, they have not missed a beat. You know, in the first 3 or 4 days of play, they have not missed a beat. And to see them just carry it on, and, you know, and for a bit, you know, for the last several months, you know, you'd hear some of the more veteran players say, like, well, we got to see how they adjust to pro. And we're watching them just have absolutely seamless transitions. So it's been great.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I cover the WNBA, and we talk about that quick transition from a 2 week break from the draft and everything. You guys are like, we got you matched. We are transitioning a lot faster than that. But even in the college space, you know, we talk about the first $1 million NIL deal for Kennedy, and these are things that are growing the game and growing the college game. That how, I guess my question is, how do you see that trickle down to how that's going to affect AU pro softball and allow that to grow as well?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the items in the past was the gap between college and pro. And what I mean by that is just sort of the, you know, the, at odds a bit, you know, a little bit in competition. Whereas I think, you know, now we see, no, this should just be one road. And again, you know, bridging that gap. And so one of the initiatives, one of the programs that we came up with this year was, in order to bridge that gap, one of the reasons was, we created a program where we had our draft and we called them golden tickets, which we then went around and presented at college campuses after the athlete's game, after the, you know, drafted selected players game. And so that was our way to connect with the college landscape, with the college coaches, with not just the selected player, but with the team. And so what we saw was, when these players found out they had gotten a golden ticket, the, you know, just the outpouring of emotion and, just genuine raw emotion and being able to celebrate with their families, with their friends, their teammates, that was really intentional. And so again, it's about building those bridges and being inclusive, and trying to galvanize the softball landscape so that they know that, you know, from this step, there's, you know, there's college, and from college, there's pro, and from pro, there's the Olympics every 4 years. And we are training ground for the Olympics, right? So it's just making sure that you create that pipeline and people understand what the steps in the pipeline are.
Yes, I was going to ask about the Olympics next, because that seems to, that's the next in the momentum and going towards that, and going towards that, that fandom as well, right? Because now you are, the audience is going to be glued from month after month. We have something that is going to be softball related, but just talk about the Olympics coming in 2028 to Los Angeles and how does that feel? How excited? And what is your role in that? Is it just AU, or will you be involved with the Olympics at all?
So I don't think I will be involved in the Olympics, but the Olympics is front of mind for sure. This is the opportunity, you know, once every 4 years, us on a little bit more inconsistent basis, but in theory, once every 4 years to get the most eyeballs on our sport as is possible. Right? It's that world stage. And so, you know, for us in terms of strategy, it is definitely a part of, you know, leading up to that platform. And again, working with USA Softball, because we know these athletes have to represent. And if US wins gold, it's another springboard for Athletes Unlimited. And again, you capture those eyeballs and you capture those fans, and then even more people know that AU is the place to watch these Olympians in a non-Olympic year, in non-Olympic time. So it really is exciting, especially with it here on U.S. soil. And I think, you know, so exciting for the players and the buildup. You know, we're still 3 years away, but of course it is. It is in everybody's eyesight, and you know, it is top of mind for us.
Well, I'm excited to see this league just explode and continue to do great things. Kim Eng, Commissioner of AU Pro Softball League, thank you so much for your time, and good luck this season. We'll be cheering you on.
Thank you so much, Jordan.
Thank you again to Commissioner Kim Eng for giving us an amazing update on how the brand new Pro Softball League is kicking things off. Make sure to tune into ESPN to catch Athletes Unlimited Softball over the next few months and check the schedule to see if they'll be stopping in your city. It's going to be awesome. Next, we'll dive into the business side of women's sports and wrap up the show. You're listening to She's Got Next with Jordan Robinson.
Let's get down to business. Here's what's happening in the business of women's sports.
Welcome back to She's Got Next. Now it's time for Let's Get Down to Business, where we talk about the business side of women's sports. This week, I wanted to focus on the phenomenon that is women's sports bars. Yes, you heard that right. A sports bar that solely shows women's sports on its TVs. Long gone are the days of fighting for your favorite bar to turn on the women's soccer match or the WNBA game that you didn't want to miss. I hated those days. Now it's become a money-making trend to cater only to women's sports fans while they eat, drink, and be merry. This started with Jenny Nguyen, with her bar called The Sports Bra that opened in Portland, Oregon in 2022. It was the first sports bar dedicated to women's sports in the country. She's a chef by trade, but she wanted to have a space welcoming to non-binary, queer, and trans individuals to watch their favorite sports stars on the big screen. I have interviewed and talked to Jenny many times. She is a wonderful and incredible human. But the part of her story that continues to be inspiring is how she bet on herself and her fandom. At first, no banks would give her a loan to start this business because they didn't think it was viable. Then, in her first 8 months, she brought in almost $1 million. Clearly, this was a thing that was missing for women's sports fans. And the sports bra has announced franchise locations in St. Louis, Indianapolis, Boston, and Las Vegas. It's been this perfect storm of a rise in fandom and viewership and this brilliant business plan, because who doesn't want to drink a great drink, appetizers, and watch your favorite women's sports games? Like, it's perfect. An example of this is the women's sports bar in San Francisco called Ricky's. On opening night, there was a line around the block, and what a perfect time to open something like this when you have a brand new NWSL team, Bay FC. They're killing it. And in the WNBA, the Golden State Valkyries are exploding. But many of the owners of these new sports bars resonated with Jenny Nguyen's story of it being a fight to get a business loan. According to an NBC News article from March, a lot of these owners have either had to tap into their retirement, their personal savings, or crowdfunding to get these businesses off the ground. Molly Hewick, who recently opened Set the Bar in Omaha, she retired a year and a half ago after working 21 years at PayPal and invested $250,000 of her own money into starting the business. And then she raised an additional $850,000 through investors. She said that she has shared her investment model to other women's sports bar owners because this very much feels like a sisterhood and a collective. She has always planned to use investors because she didn't want to have a bank loan. She didn't want the hurdles of that. And she'll be opening the bar debt-free. That is incredible. I love all these sports bars. Make sure to see which ones are popping up in your city. Make sure to support, donate. They have events at a bunch of them, but it is such an inclusive space to watch these women sports stars be incredible. So I love this whole thing, and I love that it's a direct correlation between the fandom, the product on the field, on the court, and a business model. So shout outs to them. Before we go, let's talk TV Guide, what women's sports you should tune into this week. A couple of ongoing events to look out for this week. The WNBA's Commissioner's Cup, that action is continuing throughout the week until June 17th. The World Surf League's Lexus Trestles Pro is going on in San Clemente, California. And the Euro Winter Beach Soccer Cup, all those are going on throughout this week. But next week, FIBA EuroBasket Women kicks off. It's a tournament where some of the women's basketball's biggest and brightest stars compete to be the best team in Europe. This is both European and international players, but also American players going to play for their European team. So some players have even paused their duties in the WNBA to compete. So make sure to tune in. Those times are going to be a little wonky, but it's going to be really good basketball. It's a big deal. Hope you enjoyed this episode, you guys. This was so fun. I hope you learned a few things. That's all I got for you today. I will see you next time on She's Got Next with Jordan Robinson.